You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kent Gang West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
All right.
Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio, WrestleMania Aftermath. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and it's great of you to join us. I have with me, well, first of all, I'll tell you what, give it up for the Swami. Christian with a big, bad hangover after WrestleMania. What's going on, Christian?
I don't know why you're saying WrestleMania Aftermath, Minister. I mean, we're getting WrestleMania in May 16th.
WrestleMania Backlash, which it has been tagged Backlash. For years, we've known it as Backlash, and now, of course, it has been tagged WrestleMania Backlash, and, of course, we'll get on with that later in the show. But right now, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Rancho Punk Rocker. The caller, Albert Infected. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing fine and dandy. I thought WrestleMania was an okay WrestleMania. I didn't think it was the best, but I didn't think it was the worst. And I'm sitting here in beautiful San Antonio, Texas, enjoying a Topo Chico hard seltzer, spiked sparkling water. Enjoy it now.
Nice.
Only at HEB.
Yes, Topo Chico, very nice beverage, very nice. I love it. Very crisp and refreshing. Also, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for, he is the Peacemaker, Kev Yeh. Welcome to the show, brother.
Yo, what's up? I was telling Chuck that I got Hopadillo for him because he's always ripping Hopadillo, so that's what I'm drinking tonight. But no,
nice.
The Topo Chico you're talking about, Albert, that's the alcoholic one. I saw that. I didn't pick it up yet, but I have been on the Carbox seltzer water too. Let's go back to seltzer water, 2021.
I love it. I tell you what, I love it. I was a fan of White Claw, and a lot of people give people shit for drinking White Claw. I like it. It'll fill you up as much as the beer and get you just as drunk with almost half the calories. But that's some good shit right there, man. I'm telling you.
What?
Forget about
what?
I'll do you guys one better.
I'll do you guys one better, rattlesnake. Drinking that seltzer water.
Sorry.
Yeah, man. I'll do you guys one better. Bring back Crystal Pepsi.
Oh yeah.
Crystal Pepsi.
CM Punk.
Is that the modern day version of Tab?
No, it was like clear Pepsi. It was like clear Pepsi that made it look like water, but it was Pepsi back in the day.
Well, I'll tell you what, Inspected. Let me tell you something, Inspected. You say you get shit on all the time for drinking that seltzer water shit. Well, let me tell you something, man. Back in the day, it used to be Zima. It was Zima that the fancy boys drank. And, yes, we used to make fun of them, too, back then. So, no, man. What you drink is your business. I've had a White Claw, actually. I went to a comedy club last year sometime and enjoyed a White Claw. That's all they were serving. But, you know, it wasn't too bad. And it reminded me of Zima. Dude, like five or six, and you're good in. And, you know, all bets are off after, you know, eight or nine.
Here's a cheat code that I learned was I started drinking White Claw. During the White Claw boom was when Bang Energy Drink was getting really popular. So when we were barbecuing a couple of times, we mixed Bang and White Claw in cups, like big cups of ice, and we drank that as like a little mixer for the barbecue.
You just never know.
Right? That was like
you just never know what's in that cup.
That sounds like some, oh my God.
That's welcome like back some, to not Christian. Christian's a straight edge, so that's good. He gave us all.
That's straight edge.
Like some backwoods elixir right there, Kevier. And but it also sounds delicious at the same time, so I don't know.
It was
really
good. No, the flavor was good.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Was it a red Solo or was it a white Styro?
No, I would use like one of my kitchen cups, like one of those big plastic ones you buy off the shelf at like HEB and Kroger and stuff.
Nice. A tumbler. Yes.
Guys. He had a 1972 Batman Returns McDonald's cup. That was.
Man, that's a collector's edition. It's worth a lot of money, I'm sure, to someone. Guys, we've got a hell of a show tonight. It's all behind us now. WrestleMania, what we lived for in the wrestling world, is behind us. It's in our freaking rearview mirror. And now we have WrestleMania 38 to look forward to, which is right here in Texas, no less. And they're bringing Albert Inspected. You're from Texas. What do you make of them bringing back WrestleMania to Texas? And why not at the Alamo Dome?
Well, you know, I think the Alamo Dome really. I mean, because I'm right down the street from the Alamo Dome, but I've pondered this too, and I'm like, you know what? The Alamo Dome really only holds, I think, like 70 or 75,000 people. It's a big arena. But, you know, they had a lot of problems when the Spurs played there with audience views being blocked by giant pillars. So I think that's one of the main reasons. One of the main reasons why the Spurs moved to the AT&T Center over there on the east side there. But also mainly they moved to the AT&T Center because the Alamo Dome was just too damn big. You guys ever go through San Antonio, I mean, it's no Astrodome or Superdome, but it's pretty damn big, man. And it takes up a good chunk of the skyline out there. And, that would have been fantastic. But they did bring the Royal Rumble, I think, like in 2017. I believe 2018, the Rumble was there. And, I think they had the Rumble there in 1996 at the Alamo Dome. But as far as, you know, airports and hotel-wise and just, you know, highways, all that stuff, I think the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex might be a little bit of a better choice. And I'm looking forward to attending the festivities there. And, we're going to be hanging out there. Even if I don't go to WrestleMania, I just want to be there. We can even do a live show out there. That'll be something to look forward to. So I guess we'll start planning that stuff soon.
Well, gentlemen, that's if it happens in Texas, because, you know, the whole pandemic thing, you know.
Don't remind me. Just when you think it's over, they got a new one coming. They got a new one to pass it out to everybody right now. I think I had it last week with that whole shit with the eyes 2 weeks in a row. I'm not telling you. I'm not lying to you, man. I think I had that shit, man. My eyes were fucked up.
Let's just hope. Like an eyeball virus?
I don't know. It might be the Rey Mysterio thing I was suffering. Who the hell knows, dude? I was ready to claw. My eyeball's out. I'll tell you that.
Let's just hope. Let's just hope that next year's WrestleMania is not a two-night thing. All right? Let's just all hope that. No more two-night WrestleManias.
Let's go ahead and get started because I wanted to talk about that. We had the whole two-night thing. I found, and I'm pretty sure that everybody else found, that night two was quite underwhelming. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but we had a buzzer.
It fucking blew.
Hold on, was underwhelming. Night one by far exceeded it in as far as entertainment value in my eyes. I don't know what you guys saw. But, night two, I fell asleep during the middle of it. I had to go back in and read the results. I did put it on, you know, to watch the replay. But even then, I was engaged in other things. So, night two was just a little bit of a blur. I saw the beginning and was completely thrown off with the whole Randy Orton, Alexa Bliss, Bray, or the Fiend thing. I never got into this feud to begin with. I think it's freaking, it, it's It's too much for me. I can't suspend my disbelief in that fashion. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't even know who the fuck is face and who was. I mean, to me, Bray Wyatt looks like the heel because of just the way he looks. But obviously, they were doing some other shit there. And then the whole, apparently, there was a turn at WrestleMania that, I mean, I was like, what the fuck happened? There was some kind of turn with Alexa Bliss, and I just didn't get the whole thing.
That whole situation was disrespectful. And I warned you guys. I told you the storyline was fucking garbage from day one. And guess what?
Nevertheless,
right.
What are your thoughts about day one versus day two, Christian? Which one did you think was better, or what are you thinking there?
Dude, day one was obviously WrestleMania, all right? Day one had better fucking story, better matches, better entertainment, and, you know, a match that everybody cares, you know, main event between Bianca and Sasha Banks. Night two was the
dream. Wait a minute. You didn't care about Apollo Crews and
No. No. Especially how it ended, no. Especially how the match ended, no. And I didn't. The only match I cared in night two was the main event triple threat match. So it was the only match I give a fucking damn.
Wait a minute, you didn't care about Sheamus and bro.
No, because that was a botchy mess. That match. Those two kept botching in the entire match. And then
I'm telling you,
man,
I missed the middle, and I caught the beginning, and I caught the end. Maybe the last, a bigger chunk of the end that you would believe, but.
Dude. Rhea Ripley and Asuka shit the bed. That match was fucking boring. That was like a regular Raw match at WrestleMania.
Shit the bed.
That shit the bed. That's the bed.
Why does that ring sound familiar? Shit the bed. Albert inspected. Shit the bed.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Regular Raw match.
Yeah, Albert, your thoughts on night one versus night two? What are you thinking there, man? Did you watch both?
You know what? I was thinking the opposite. I thought night one felt a little lackluster, and I thought night two felt a little bit more like WrestleMania. Now, as far as the whole thing goes, if I'm going to give like 1 out of 5 stars for both night one, night two, WrestleMania 37, just in general, I would probably give it about a 3 or 3.5, mainly because of the build, and just how it did feel a little filling together. And you know what? You can tell, like, dude, there was a point in time, and I guarantee you this, and it's going to annoy the piss out of you, and I can't give you an exact match what it was, but you can tell that I think Vince was in the fucking control room, and everything just felt fucking, like, thrown together, because you could tell, like, it was I'll have to go back and watch night one, because there's a point in, like, one of the matches, it was, like, an important match, and you can tell Vince was probably in the control room flipping fucking cameras, because the camera was literally going hard cam, left side, right side, hard cam, left side, right side, hard cam, like over and over, like non-fucking-stop the entire match. And it pissed me off. Did you guys catch that or anything? It was like, it was just going from like...
There was a lot of people online. I noticed the bad camera work the whole weekend, and there was a lot of people online really complaining about camera work and stuff. I was going to touch on that a little bit, too.
It was like, it took me out of it. I sat there and watched it, and it was literally like shot one, and then shot two, and then shot three, shot one, shot two, and it was just back and forth, non-fucking-stop. For a good, like, 15 or 20 minutes, the cameras were just, like, going nuts, and it was just, it took you out of the moment. It was so weird. And another thing, too, that I noticed, too, and this is kind of like my general, like, WrestleMania review, is that I don't think there was a lot of communication between the wrestlers and the producers, because it seemed like a lot of the same spots were being repeated, especially quite a few times, especially during the Sami Zayn and the Kevin Owens match and the girls' matches and all these matches. We were doing these ring apron spots. You guys notice that, too? There was at least, like, 10 the whole time, like 8, 9, or even 10 ring apron spots where somebody like hits a you know, ring, they're like hard, like, you know, it's just one of those,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. It was just like somebody would do like a
suplex on the ring apron, impact.
It was like
there's like cross faces everywhere. Like I noticed that a bunch of people are doing that move, not just Brian and Edge, but I feel like I've seen more people just go into a cross face. Like a lot of people have that as a finisher right now, or as a as a move in their arsenal, and I'm kind of tired of seeing the crossface overused.
Dude, they literally copied a spot move by move in the main event on night two, the spot they did in NXT TakeOver where fucking Daniel Bryan stopped Roman from tapping out. They literally copied the same move they did in an NXT TakeOver match. They did the same spot.
Hmm. You mean that's
Edge?
Interesting.
I mean, that's okay. It makes sense to stop
Edge
the guy from tapping out.
On Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan stopped Roman from tapping. It was the same spot
from
NXT.
He slid in the ring and grabbed
somebody
his hand.
Let's go to Kevye and get his quick thoughts on night one versus night two and what he saw.
So I did feel like night two felt more like WrestleMania. I'm with Albert. I thought like night one was like really kind of weird feeling vibe at the beginning. Like, and there was this whole delay because of the rain, like that I think it got delayed like 20 minutes or something. Like it seemed like it did. And they just, there was this long segment at the beginning of night one where everybody was doing promos, which was cool.
Yeah.
But it also seemed like they were doing promos to save time or to like bide time while it was raining. And then,
well, of course, it was during the rain delay. They had to buy time. They still had the time booked on Peacock. So, you know, that's just like a situation where when time is booked, time is booked. If you don't have, you can't go for whatever reason, you have to fill that time. So they were out there
I was watching that.
What seemed like was on the fly. And some of them, to me, were bad.
The first 20 minutes, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, damn, these are unrehearsed promos, and these people haven't done, like, promos in front of a live camera in forever. And I was like, this is not going to be good. I'm thinking, like, the storm's going to get worse. And then, like, eventually the night got on and got better. And Lashley and Drew's match was cool, and I was happy with Lashley coming out. We'll get into the matches, but I was happy with the main event of that show. Didn't really care too much about everything else except for Lashley and the main event. And then the night two just felt more like WrestleMania. It's like the crowd was more amped up and ready for it, and those matches were more high profile. I thought the triple threat match was still super badass.
Nice.
And I'm a mark for Rhea Ripley right now too. I think that she's badass, so I'm cool with that.
So let's get into
the Bray Wyatt theme stuff. I'd like to get into too because I kind of still like where that story's going.
Yeah, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna do it right now. So let's go ahead and get into the meat of things because we got a long way to go, guys, and we have to keep it short. We can't be, you know, putting so much freaking thought into the Christian. No, but we do have to say what we have to say. But let's keep it concise. So check it out. We started out, of course, with that huge rain delay. And then we had what I thought was a bit of an awkward welcome with Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan welcoming us to WrestleMania 37. It was worse on night two where they were out there wearing freaking pirate outfits. I thought the whole thing was stupid. It was totally uncalled for. And, I mean, I don't know who the fuck they were catering to with that, but it sure as hell wasn't the children. Maybe it was the parakeets. Who the hell knows?
They booed the shit out of Hogan.
And Hogan got booed. And what the fuck was Hogan doing there? We've had this conversation before. And there he is again. They're throwing him in our faces again. Nobody wants to see this fuck. They're booing the shit out of him. I don't give a shit how much they try to cover it up. They were still booing. It was clear that they were booing his ass. And then, I don't know. The whole thing was terrible. He did have a nice mustache. I'll give him credit on the mustache, though. But we get started with the match, and right out the gate,
than Hernandez's mustache.
Yeah, Christian.
Nah, Hernandez was
a loco.
He shaved the mustache off.
Hernandez shaved the mustache off.
Better than Hernandez,
he was at the last look of wrestling, and he was no mustacheless.
Well, I'm not going to give a racist a credit for his mustache work. So no, Hernandez has a better mustache only because Hulk Hogan's a racist.
All day long. And we get right into the fire, guys, with Drew McIntyre versus Bobby freaking Lashley, and of course with MVP. And I thought the match was good. It was two big guys going at it and whatnot. But then the match ended, and of course it ended with Lashley getting help. How the hell was it? Let's see. Who the hell?
What happened? I'll tell you. What happened was Drew McIntyre was ready to hit the Claymore, and then MVP screamed. Drew McIntyre to get distracted, and that's how Bobby Lashley retained.
There you go. And so Bobby Lashley retained. Of course, it was a dirty retain, but nevertheless a retain. And so, Kevier, who got that right? Did we all get that right, or?
You're the only one who thought that Lashley would win, and me
course.
And Christian both agree.
You know what? I know it wasn't on last week, but I also predicted that Lashley was going to take it a few weeks back. So give me that point, even though I'm mad at the, I just want one point.
And give it to him. Just give it to him. Just give it to him.
Which sucks because I thought that they wanted Drew to win in front of fucking crowds. So I guess that doesn't matter anymore.
But
you know,
he's going to win. And maybe that's why they labeled Backlash WrestleMania Backlash. So that Drew McIntyre can still win in front of that crowd, only it's just WrestleMania Backlash now. They've extended WrestleMania, not just fucking three nights. Oh, no. That wasn't enough. They had to bastardize it all the way. Full tilt, baby. They had to go full tilt on this shit and go, you know, four events, starting on SmackDown. Then, you know, night one, night two, and then, you know, night three or night four, whatever the hell. It's going to be next month, okay? So that's where we're at. Let's go with Kevier. Your thoughts on WrestleMania now, a Backlash being extended. And, you know, I think that's where, of course, on Raw this week, Drew McIntyre won a match. I was able to watch highlights. He won a match at the end with Bobby Orton. And Randy Orton and somebody else, the other guy,
Braun Strowman,
to, you know, winner goes to the match, okay? So, you know, I think he's going to win there. Kevier?
I think it's silly that it's called WrestleMania Backlash. I mean, Backlash has always been Backlash. It's like we have the show before WrestleMania, Fastlane, and then the show right after is kind of the aftermath or whatever. So it's redundant, and it's like a ploy to get people on Peacock to tune in just by having that WrestleMania tag on it. You want to hear what I think about the WrestleMania tag real quick? There's fucking several shots during WrestleMania. There's several shots during WrestleMania where there was like the WrestleMania logo would be up on screen, and then there was like five or six. At one point, I'm going to go back and take the picture, but at one point there's six Snickers logos. And
yeah,
they're
Snickers.
Like three of the Snickers logos are huger. They're like three times as big as the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah.
And
it was Snickers WrestleMania.
It's crazy how they just put Snickers everywhere to the point to where we were like, let's watch Snickers Mania. We're watching Snickers Mania, everybody.
There was a point during the show when, I'm not kidding here, I had to go take a deuce. And out came a freaking Snickers bar. I shit you not, bro. I shit you not.
But you did.
They're just bastardizing everything however they can. Is it going to be Mountain Dew, WrestleMania, what the hell, Backlash? And it's going to be Mountain Dew everywhere? I mean, you know, I could see that. But, yeah, so here we are with the first match, Drew McIntyre. Albert, your thoughts on that match?
I thought it was a great big man match, and I thought that Drew got the reception that I thought he was going to get, and everybody was just excited to be there. Of course, it was the first match of WrestleMania, and I was excited that Lashley retained. I'm both a huge fan of Lashley and Drew McIntyre, but as far as this one goes, I'm glad that Lashley retained. It was a good hard-hitting match, and it was a great way to kick off the entire show.
I'm glad he won, too, but I was upset at how he did it. They were talking at the beginning of the show how he was going to dominate and how it was his time. And, you know, I expected a little bit more domination. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a good match and shit, and they left it out there. But at the end of the, you know, at the end of the night, man, he didn't win in a dominant way. And I get, you know, the whole thing. Christian, your thoughts?
I thought the match was good.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said, Christian, let me interject real quick. I was waiting for Christian's
happen when he shows up. But I thought the match was decent, but the most interesting thing is Drew McIntyre was getting his ass booed, too. He was getting cheered, but he was also getting fucking booed. So that's an interesting thing. It looks like people are already turning on fucking Drew McIntyre. Who would have guessed? You're shoving him down.
That made Lashley an MVP call. It's because last year MVP are cool characters.
I turned away from him myself, but, you know, that's typical of me because I'm the bad guy. I like the bad guys. But I can see and appreciate the story of where they're going with Drew McIntyre. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, they got to build fucking big stars. They got to build these fucking guys. They cannot rely on these guys coming back year after fucking year. And because at the end of the day, guys, they're listening to us. At some point or another, they listen, and they want to do what we're saying they're not going to do. Or they want, you know what I mean? Like, eventually, they're going to get it right. But it's not going to be now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be now. And, you know, we'll be dead and gone, I guess. But Kevier, any thoughts? That match?
Yeah, no, I was just happy to see it's like, even on the baby face, like, I like whenever it's like a good heel and whenever it's a good story, at least of when the guy carries it right, and Lashley carries it right, and it looks like a monster and is like a straight up asshole. So his heel works fine, and I was happy seeing him like retain because I didn't want him to lose it so early.
We had the tag team turmoil next. I called Billy Kay and Carmella. They were taken out. The team that you guys called, I can't remember who, but they also got taken out. Nobody won a point on that, and it's probably a time saver to just go ahead and skip this, unless is there anything that stood out anywhere to anybody?
Yeah, I'll tell you what stood out. The Riot Squad were getting pushed. That was the only thing. The Riot Squad, the only good wrestling team in this fucking match, didn't win, and the wrong fucking team won. That's what stood out in this fucking match. How the fuck can you book two heel teams to face each other at WrestleMania? What the fuck? Like, seriously? The wrong fucking team won in this fucking match, and the match itself was fucking garbage. So that's my take on this.
Man, I thought the whole thing
was
garbage.
Strange choice putting Natalya and Tamina. Sorry, I had a brain fart just then. But yeah, Tamina and Natalya, I feel like it was just like a thing where, like, a nostalgia thing to have these chicks who've been in the company for so long, that's good for them, but to have them there in that spot at Mania instead of a new team for some reason, that was a bad choice. But it was a cool moment whenever Nia got to beat up on Tamina and called herself Queen Bitch or something, and then she said, I'm King Kong.
I found myself wanting the Riot Squad to win.
Tamina slapped the piss out of her after that, so that was cool too.
During the match, I found myself wanting the Riot Squad to win. What about you, Albert? Was there someone you were secretly pulling for?
You know what? I dug Natty and Tamina winning that one. Wait, that is who won, right?
Yeah. They deserve it.
I think it was like one of those like I would have been happier with the Riot Squad or you know, something else, but I was sleepy then.
Moving on, we get a package from Seth Rollins and Cesaro, so then of course we get the match. Cesaro come out in new panties and new gear, and right away you knew he was going to win. But then again, we all knew he was going to win. We all called him. Seth Rollins comes out, and he's in his new, like, progressive persona that he's got. It's very progressive. Like, he's like that Che Guevara type.
Yeah.
Like, he's a visionary or something. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're making fun of something or what the hell is going on with that.
Did this motherfucker again get a new theme song again? Did Seth Rollins again get a new theme song?
Huh.
It's been like, what, months? And he already has a new theme song already? What the fuck is this, dude? Like,
shit.
I guess
because I'm watching with Beer Dog along, but
shit.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I didn't even notice either, Christian. Good for you, man. The watchdog on the scene.
It was just a generic rock song.
Wow. So, yeah, we had the match. It was a great match. I thought the fucking match was badass, these two. Probably match of the night. I don't know. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, fucking Seth Rollins like a cat out there. Always lands on his freaking feet. It's badass. And then him and Cesaro together. I mean, shit, man. I'm digging this, and it's going to keep going, I'm assuming. But, yeah, I'm digging Cesaro and Rollins working together in the big league. I just, you know, would like to see – to see it done well and see, you know, how it goes. I'm curious about this. Guys, like your thoughts. Kevier, Cesaro, and Rollins.
I wasn't too invested in this feud, and I've been a big Cesaro fan in the past. I've been a bigger Seth fan. I'm a big fan of both guys. So, but I'm not really pleased with the direction. I like them for what they used to be, not for whatever they're pushing them to be now. So I didn't care too much, and my buddies were all that were watching that aren't regular viewers, like, were making fun of the swing and saying that that was really stupid. So even though it might help Cesaro, it might hurt him too. Doing cooler stuff than the swing might be a good
you
idea.
You think the persona
really to get over.
Is hurting Rollins? He's
definitely
taking it a bit too
far. I think that Rollins is being forced to do shitty heel stuff that isn't supposed to get over. I think that, you know what I mean? I think that they're feeding him.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. Like they're creating a character that they can keep in the mid card, like a good heel that they can always have in the mid card or the main event in Rollins. And I just think that he's better than that. And if they gave him better shit, that he'd be a main eventer all the time. Why Roman? Seth is better.
For years, Albert Inspected, we had been, you know, hearing about, you know, oh my God, Rollins and Cesaro, you know, and what a great feud that would be. Well, here it is. Did you get any value? How was the payoff for you? Did you look forward to it?
The match is pretty enjoyable, I thought. I thought it was one of Cesaro's best WWE-style matches. That's not including – I'm not going to include any things from Claudio Castagnoli or Tyler Black in Ring of Honor or the Independents, but they put on a good WWE style match for what it is. Same thing with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens tonight after.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, and I enjoy the payoff. I just wish that you know. The whole thing with Rollins, like Kevin said, you know what I mean? Like, he should be the guy. And right now he's playing, you know, a second player to Roman Reigns right now as far
yeah.
as, like, who's leading the And everybody wants Rollins. Everybody wants the original, you know, fucking...
And then they're on the
original,
same brand.
Jamie Noble, I've seen you backstage. Running around on TV again. Come back. Bring back the Stooges.
They're on the same fucking brand, man. And that's what pisses me off. It's like, you know, here they are. They're supposed to be bitter enemies and shit after the whole breakup thing. And they're on the same freaking brand. And, like, it's not even acknowledged. Christian from Philly, your thoughts on the match? Tell us about the match.
The match is great, but what's there for them to feud now? Like, Rollins already got the Cesaro swing. Like, what's the point of them feuding anymore after this? Like, he already got swung. He got the UFO swung at him, and he got defeated. So what's the point of this feud now? Like, why should this feud fucking continue? And how long should this fucking feud continue before everybody gets fucking bored? Are you telling me that they're going to have a match until fucking Backlash again?
With the same shit
Rollins says every fucking week, where he doesn't wrestle every week on SmackDown, saying, I'm tired of being disrespected.
Look, man.
They're going to be fucking stale. It's going to be boring.
Bro, listen to me. Kimosabi. They're going to do that. And they're going to keep feuding and shit. At Backlash, Cesaro will probably defeat him again. Seth Rollins gets up, shakes his hand or whatever. They form a fucking tag team. And, you know, it is written, Grasshopper. It is written.
But he's already have a tag team with Shinsuke.
Oh, that shit's over already, man. We're looking for a new WrestleMania, new season. The whole thing is new. Cavier or who's next? Yeah,
well, it's not going to be new until after WrestleMania Backlash, you know. We're just extending this whole thing too. And I didn't get to throw my two cents in about that, man. Like Kevin said, it was just a marketing ploy to get people to watch Backlash because nobody fucking watches Backlash, you know?
Yeah.
Oof.
It's just them putting WrestleMania on one more thing so that casual people with Peacock are inclined to tune in.
Wow.
So, oh, this
man,
is like
they're
WrestleMania.
Bastarding
we
out.
WrestleMania. We watched WrestleMania last month when we installed Peacock. Don't you remember that?
What do you that's think right. From the cop. Yeah,
you think Seth Rollins fighting that cult leader?
Whatever he is. Motivational speaker.
Don't you know that this is better than WrestleMania? It's WrestleMania, but one night only. That means it's much better.
Who was that?
And guess what? It doesn't rain. It doesn't rain in our fucking WrestleMania Backlash. You're gonna not see no rain, motherfucker.
Oh shit! So, Rollins.
As long as you don't get Vince McMahon or whoever the hell that was that night, which I'm pretty sure was Vince McMahon, because when he's around, it seems like you know whatever happens. As long as it'll get that guy in charge of the fucking cameras and the camera cuts, it'll be okay, I guess. But God
Kevin
damn, that just gave me a fucking back to that.
It's Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn.
And so they had fireworks all night. The fireworks were badass for both nights. The fireworks are great. But you couldn't get the entrance and the fireworks in the same shot. So every time the fireworks went off, you can watch this. Watch it back. Every time the fireworks went off, they cut away from the guy, and they showed the fireworks in the sky. And then they cut back to the guy. There's no shots where, there's barely any shots where there's pyro going off around the people.
It was fucking amateur hour.
Randy Orton had his pyro, but if you notice the Randy Orton moment when he gets in the turnbuckle and does his pose, he's doing his pose for, 15 seconds or something, and nothing's going on. He's just, kind of standing there, and then the fireworks start going off, and then he, what's that? Yeah. He was up there for a good minute. And the camera was up there on Randy Orton for a good while, too. Like I said, this thing just kind of felt like it was thrown together. And there was a lot of botches, both in production and on the match end. It's really weird.
Yeah, it was a takeover. And I'll tell you what, with Kevin Dunn, man, I think he has this new fucking strain, too, man. And then his eyes were probably all fucked up, and he was in the rig back there and, you know, handling the 28 cameras. Or however many in his eyes were as fucked up as mine were, and yeah, man, that's the problem there. But Cesaro,
the guy's a fucking diva.
Got put away with a freaking new move that I hadn't seen, and it was called the UFO.
The UFO, yeah.
And then he signaled for a Cesaro swing. And then he started it up, and then he swung that fool for 23 times, guys. And then followed up with a freaking neutralizer. Are you fucking kidding me? Who in the fuck can do that other than Cesaro?
Probably a bunch of other wrestlers.
Stamina it takes. I know, dude. To swing somebody 23 times and then still have the wherewithal, as they say, to get up and do a neutralizer.
Probably a bunch of other wrestlers.
Spin yourself 23 times and see if you can, you know, pick up the phone again or whatever the hell. But I digress. So Cesaro defeated Seth Rollins. We had the Raw Tag Team Championship match. And this was a snooze fest botch. The botulism, almost freaking AJ Styles reaching for the tag, almost all he had to do was reach back, was just standing there trying to tag, standing there without even reaching. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And does he not know the concept of fucking wrestling and how to fucking
don't
wrestle?
It worked. That was supposed to happen, right? That was I thought that was a funny moment.
Tag me in with this one because the fucking psychology of this is fucking absurd. First of all, the New Day are the baby faces and Almas and AJ are the fucking heels, yet throughout the entire match is a fucking handicap match between two baby faces and one heel. The New Day are handicapping AJ Styles, and Almas gets cheered, and the New Day gets booed. The baby faces, and they win the tag titles. This match shouldn't have fucking happened. It made no fucking sense. The baby faces get booed and the heels get cheered. This is fucking bullshit. This is shit. And this might be the worst AJ Styles match in WrestleMania. He's had better matches in WrestleMania. This might be his worst one yet.
Well, this one was one of those matches that I particularly didn't care for. Let's go to Rancho Punk Rock. Your thoughts on this AJ Styles Almas?
Who the fuck is Almas, and what makes people think or anybody think that he fucking deserves a goddamn tag team title with AJ Styles nonetheless? Who the fuck is this shit?
Who did AJ Styles piss off for this fucking shitty ass program? I mean,
I think AJ Styles is such a company man, no matter what company he's in, whether it's TNA or WWE or New Japan, he's such a company man that he'll fucking put up with shit like this and just go along with it. And now he's got this fucking rookie dude who doesn't even fucking deserve to be on the goddamn main roster right now. I don't know too much about Almas. I mean, like I said, but I do know that he's just some fucking big dude. I've never even seen him. I mean, I've maybe seen him take a handful of bumps. You know, what makes this guy deserving to be AJ Styles' tag team partner? Not only tag team partner.
Why not Chad Gable?
Co-champion over anybody else in the fucking roster. You know what I mean? Think about that. It's just fucking crazy.
It is hearing y'all's point of view on it. It makes it seem like a little less fortunate that that's how that match went. I guess that they won, but I thought that it was like a cool reveal, or like finally like in ring reveal for the Almas guy, and it's like a cool moment. I did say whenever they won and like AJ was up on his shoulders holding both belts, I was like, this is the reason they booked this feud. This is just this one image of AJ being up on his shoulders with the belt is the only reason they wanted that picture. They wanted that moment for WrestleMania where AJ's holding the tag team titles up there. And had AJ held the tag team titles before this?
I don't think so.
So
no, never.
That's how they make him they're making him a Grand Slam champion, it seems like, right?
That's what it seems like.
But obviously they don't even give a fuck about the title run because he didn't even show up last night. He wasn't even on Raw last night.
A lot of people weren't on Raw last night. Sheamus was nowhere to be found on Raw. My cousin, of course, no longer on Raw. But I digress. So, yeah, there's that match with AJ Styles and Almas. I don't think anybody, Kevier seemed to like it, but then he got turned off a little bit after we gave our points of view. But of
no, you're right. Like AJ could. Albert's right about AJ. Like AJ's one of the biggest stars ever, and he could have like rode his wave like 5-6 years ago, and like honestly, he could have sailed ship on WWE and gone to AEW and been a huge, just as huge a thing, if not bigger than what he is in WWE now. I think AJ would have done better in AEW at this point.
And by the way, guys, I'd like to thank WrestleView for WrestleView.com for the results that I've got here. And I've got one of their tweets on here. And by the way, you can check that out at WrestleView. And it says here, wasn't the most exciting match to start off, but the New Day were using logical strategy here. Good reaction to Almas from the crowd. WWE made him look like an absolute monster. WWE hasn't done a giant attraction right since Andre. Could Almas die?
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. He did nothing. All he did was just stand there and let people hit him. That wasn't fucking good. Get the fuck out of here. That's
Yeah, I'm not buying it at all.
The spot where he didn't tag AJ, I felt like they were saying there that, like, almost, like, doesn't know that he is green. Like, they were doing it for that reason. That, like, almost, like, really doesn't know what to do and was just, like, maybe, I don't know. It was really weird how that went down because AJ was like, oh,
interesting story, then.
He just stood there.
Yeah, that adds a layer to the story, to his story, I guess. So we had, so that segment wrapped up, right? And then we had King Corbin came out in a little funny Snickers commercial, no less.
Yeah.
Howard Infected, did you feel like right now to get a Snickers point?
I think at that point I was outside flipping some barbecue.
There you go, in the store.
Nice.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
What a WrestleMania.
Yeah. So SmackDown Women's Champion Sasha Banks was warming up in the back. And then, of course, we had Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler join commentary. And then we had Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. And a match that Christian was certainly not looking forward to.
No, I didn't give a fuck.
Shane O'Mac was destined to do a match. And, of course, you know, when he has the cojones that he has, he can do a fucking match. It's his clout. Mm-hmm. He's got that kind of clout where he can do a fucking match. So there he was, the Braun Strowman, biggest guy in the company. Mm-hmm. Big badass, man. He's got a hell of a fucking physique now. So anyway, Shane O'Mac and Braun Strowman, you know, beat each other down inside the cage. Of course, Elias and Jackson Riker came out and put a beat down, handed a little bit of a beat down to a freaking Strowman before injury. But then he entered. And, of course, this match was for, you know, everybody that's been called an idiot. Braun Strowman dedicated this match to anybody who could call an idiot or dumb or stupid or whatever. So then the idiot goes on in the match, and he, you know, they have a typical Shane McMahon match with all the typical spots. And then in the end, of course, they have that spot where McMahon was climbing out of the ring, and he Strowman freaking ripped through the fence, like just broken apart. That was a good spot because I had never seen it done like that before. And so I thought that was okay. And then he brought him back in, and then he went on top, continued to go on top, and then he threw his ass down, and then he jumped on him and pinned him, and that was that. 1, 2, 3.
That was the most tamest spot Shane has ever done. That was the lamest fucking sell spot he ever did. I'm sorry. This match fucking sucked. The fact that Braun Strowman no-sold his leg injury throughout the entire match, gets right back up out of nowhere, grabs Shane. This match fucking sucked. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. The only exciting bit, or what least exciting, was the whole sell spot, but that's it.
We fucking ripped on this shit last week, and I think maybe even the week before it even happened. Here it is happening again. Kevin, does it really need to happen with where Shane McMahon gets in there? I mean, we were talking earlier about spots being held back, you know, so that somebody else could. I mean, what the hell? Really? A spot? I mean, like, somebody else maybe could have been in that spot with Braun Strowman. Kevin?
Not over dumb shit. Yeah, not over dumb shit. The Shane should have been booked, like, I mean, when he fought Bryan, it was because he was the boss of SmackDown at the time, right? And this whole thing. And,
right.
Like, there's times when Shane has fought people where it's been, like, blood feud, kind of, like they've had to fight. But, no, just him being a bully, like, putting him in that position, anybody could have done that. It didn't have to be Shane calling him an idiot. It could have been anybody. Yeah,
Baron Corbin
drawn in a steel cage would have been sick. I'm fine with that. But, no, yeah, I mean, like, and just Shane doing spots for no reason is kind of, like, we know that he's going to do a big flip. His flip, like, when he fell in the ring this time, it was scary as hell, dude. That was a crazy bump. People have done it a lot. A lot of people have done that bump, but, you know, it wasn't. I don't know. I'm tired of
Albert,
it. I just feel like we could do better with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all on the same page there, Kevier. Albert Inspector, what do you think about people that might say, that might respond, you know, to what Kevier and Christian were saying, that, you know, maybe, hey, maybe the new people want to see Shane O'Mac in this spot?
Well, I talked about this a few weeks ago, back in the day, yes, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, you know, but right now, nobody really gains anything from fighting Shane McMahon anymore. You know what I mean? It used to be like, oh my God, Shane McMahon, they're going to have a crazy ass match. It's whatever now. And like Kevin said too, I mean, it's because he was calling the dude stupid. Like that's literally the fucking storyline. It was like, he was calling the dude stupid. Yeah. And it's just, that's it. Like how much more laser can he? You know what, shame on Shane McMahon for that, for allowing that storyline to go down like that too. Because you know that guy has more fucking pull than a lot of the fucking locker room. He has a lot of the locker room. He has more pull than anybody in the locker room and producers to say, hey, you know what, this is fucking stupid. Me calling this guy stupid doesn't make any fucking sense. Either that or Shane McMahon's just there phoning it in. He just wants to go to WrestleMania, and he just wants to do his spots and look cool in front of the fucking audience and have his one match and go home to his wife and kids and say, look what daddy did on TV, guys. And it's just, you know, there could have been somebody else. Like you guys said, Baron Corbin. I mean, there could have been so many more interesting combinations there. But Shane McMahon just seems to be, you know, just plugging himself in there just to plug himself in there. Yeah. And like I said, nobody really gets to fighting anymore.
And it obviously didn't matter because Braun Strowman lost the next night anyway, so he's right back where he fucking started. So what the fuck is the point of this?
Yeah.
Shit.
God damn it. I wouldn't have heard that.
Not only is Shane going out there, Shane's going out there and doing this stupid, he's going through with this stupid-ass concept, but he's also going out there and jumping off of a fucking steel cage for this stupid-ass concept. Like, he's putting himself in harm's way. That's his thing, is that he's going to do a spot that nobody else does that could go south. Anything wrong could happen. And he's going to go out there for this stupid-ass storyline instead of something that's worthwhile for anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's stupid.
And yeah, like you said, Kevin, and I forgot to mention that, too, that bump off the cage was rough as hell, man. I was surprised he did that.
Dude, that thing's, like, worse than going through tables and shit I've seen him do. That was worse than some spots I've seen because he just lands flat as fuck on his back when he hit the bottom.
Yeah, the main guy is years old.
I want to thank... I want to thank Christian from Philly and who was it? Let's see. It was Christian from Philly and Arcane 360 and DJ from FLA for hosting some bang-up shows, Wrestle Shamia and Wrestle Shamia. And you can go back and listen to both of those shows in the archives of the World Generation Podcast Network. Of course, you're welcome to do that, you know, immediately after this show, if you'd like. And I'd also like to give a special thanks to Hollywood Tony P for coming back. And also, he did a couple of shows, actually. One with Predictions with Chuck Amuck and Christian from Philly. And you can go back and listen to that into the archives as well. And also, they had a wrap-up show with Lou from Brooklyn, Tony's father. And guys, that was a pretty entertaining show, so I definitely recommend that you guys go back and check that out. Lou he gives out some recipes even at the end of the show, and yeah, very special guy. Christian, what did you think about the show we did with Lou? Oh shit, Christian, I'm sorry, Christian, the show with Lou.
I'm right here. Yeah, I think it was great. It was a great show, and this coming Friday, I guess Friday at noon, we're gonna go back again.
No, actually, they already did it. Dude, they did it yesterday. I thought it was going to be this Friday like you did. They did it yesterday, and so we totally got screwed on that. But it's okay, man.
Yeah.
It was great to have him, and we hope that he comes back again. So we're going to be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the whole thing with WrestleMania. And we still got a ways to go. So we'll be right back after these words. On this day, I see clearly everything. you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Crimson Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
It's the party. It's the East Coast Party Cast with Hollywood Tony P and Javi C on the World Generation Podcast Network. How are you doing, everybody? So you got the East Coast Party Cast. He's Puerto Rican, and I'm a freaking, and there you go. Together, we're going to make a World Generation Podcast Network history. Is it still the World Generation Podcast? Is it World Generation Net? What is it?
So, the date is coming soon on that.
Thursday night.
Yeah, party, party, party.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio WrestleMania Aftermath. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And we are bringing it up. We're bringing all the madness right now. It's all the madness. I'm watching The Miz and the whole Bad Bunny thing on TV right now as we move along. Let's see. Are we there yet? Where the hell are we? What night are we?
Yeah, I think we still got that match in the main event.
We are in night one. Yeah, and that is exactly where we're at. That is exactly where we're at, actually. I guess it was a subconscious mind that made me play that music. But so here we are on the Peacock Network. We had we had a whole Stone Cold thing, a promo about WrestleMania 38 at AT&T Stadium, and the whole thing with Booker T after that, guest commentator for the match, of course. Estoy mi peak. And then, of course, we had a parade of people come out in bunny costumes. And they all made their way to the stage. For a second there, they're like the bunny, you know, that they had from NXT, that whole bunny thing a few years back. But, of course, it was The Miz and Morrison coming out doing a horrific bad lip sync
for
their Hey, Hey, Hip Hop Hop song, whatever the hell. The whole thing was freaking bad. It was, you know, you couldn't even hear the freaking music. You would expect a lot more from a multi-million-dollar company. A billion-dollar company, actually. You would expect a lot better video production-wise. I mean, what the fuck? So, yeah, this goes to everything that was said earlier. You guys talked about it. You guys ripped on it.
It's not only that, but every promo package for every feud fucking sucked. The production in the promo packages for every feud on WrestleMania fucking blowed.
Well, I wouldn't say all that, man. I mean, some of them were all right. But I digress. Okay, so that's your opinion, and you know I have mine. But they came out to poor production. It was really bad. Of course, Damian Priest came out. He had a fucking badass entrance. You would think that he's gonna be a badass role player going forward. You know, the freaking entrance he had was freaking phenomenal, dude. And then he came out and, you know, he had his match or whatever. But then Bad Bunny came out to his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He had a cool entrance, I thought. The whole 18-wheeler thing and shit, which is in his video as well. He's got this whole 18-wheeler thing going on right now. And so, that was all right. But then you had the match. And the thing that stole the show here was actually Bad Bunny's freaking moves that he busted out during the freaking match. I mean, I was like, holy shit, are you serious? Come to find out, he was really into it. He put his heart and soul into this. He worked hard at the Performance Center. And the result, you could see the result of his hard work clearly on display at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Everybody fought it all the whole way. I saw gold. You know, he's one of the biggest superstars on the freaking planet right now. Had a freaking song in Spanish on the fucking, on the actual, you know, English charts. Number one, no less. I mean, who the fuck does that? You know, so yeah, he had a lot of eyes on him. He brought a lot of eyes to the product. And hopefully, I mean, I'm sure they probably just saw just that one match.
Yeah.
If they saw that at all, if they watched it at all, you know, they might have just seen what happened on Twitter and, the highlights on YouTube TV. But nevertheless, he hit a Bunny Destroyer at the end, ended up getting a pin in a breathtaking match. Christian from Philly, your thoughts on the match with The Miz and Morrison versus Damian Priest and Bad Bunny?
It was great. Bad Bunny impressed a lot of people. But here's the problem with this. You know who suffers the worst out of all this? Damian Priest. You know why?
Yeah.
The guy didn't do jack fucking shit. The crowd didn't give a fuck about this guy. They didn't know who the fuck this guy was. And they cared more for Bad Bunny. They even cared about Miz and Morrison. This guy, Damian Priest, was unlucky. He was the most awkward guy in the whole fucking match. And it's worse because the next 24 hours, he loses to the Miz and Morrison in a handicap match. So guess what? His career, as far as I'm concerned, is already fucking dead. So I'm so sorry for this guy, but he's fucked.
That's
great.
Bad Bunny and Damian Priest fucked already?
He was fucked from the beginning when he tag teamed up with the Bad Bunny. No, really. I mean, that was the whole thing. How can you? What happens when your tag team partner goes away to go back on tour? Because we all know that's going to happen. This guy's not going to be a full time WWE superstar. Now I'm assuming that, of course, because of his training and all that stuff, too. You know that Bad Bunny's going to come back for a match or two, maybe like once a year even. You know what I mean? I could see that happening. But what happens when he goes away? Where the fuck does Damian Priest go? I mean, he was using this guy to get over. He used him as soon as he jumped onto the main roster. He was with Bad Bunny. And so now once Bad Bunny is gone from the WWE and a bit for, I mean, not forever, but when he is.
Do we have his history?
To go back.
I mean, like, was he an NXT guy, Damian Priest?
Damian Priest was only over towards his last run in NXT. The rest of his run was lackluster. Nobody knew who the fuck this guy was in NXT towards the end of his career. That's it. This guy.
You think that they elevated him on NXT purposely, knowing that he was going to get the tap to do this Bad Bunny program?
Yes. Because the guy, we all heard this guy cut his promos. This guy cannot cut promos worth a fucking damn. He does the same fucking moves in the ring. He doesn't interest me at all. His wrestling doesn't interest me at all. His finishing move is just the fucking crossroads, which I bet you 10%, 100% is going to get banned because I heard he injured John Morrison with it last night. John Morrison might have a fucking concussion because of it. So he's fucked. Yeah.
Kevier, Damian Priest fucked from the get-go.
For some reason, I thought that the guy's character was cool, like, well, the first couple times I've seen him, and maybe it's because I didn't watch a lot of him in NXT, but whenever he first came up, I was like, oh, this guy's cool, and he's tall, and he kicks people, and so that was cool, but I don't know. And we did call him, like, a busted Aleister Black at one point. I remember that. But, you know, you hate to see anybody do bad or get buried right after they have a big moment. That's an interesting theory that maybe he knew from whenever he was in NXT that they knew that he was friends with Bad Bunny or that this Bad Bunny thing was going to happen. And to think that it was like something that they knew about for so long, I don't know if that was the case. It's weird how it all, like if that wasn't the case, then it was like the perfect storm for the guy and he got really lucky to get this moment. But coming back to it's going to be hard. Miz and Morrison, I think, are going to have a good year too. I think that Miz is going to be fine. I don't think that we'll see him with the WWE Championship again, but we're going to see him like in a high mid-card role, especially if Maryse is back on TV with him too. That's a cool faction. Having the three of them together is funny for me, so I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I think Miz and Morrison will be fine if they continue together, I think. Or who knows, maybe Morrison will be gone. We don't know the status of his contract, how long he's going to last. I'd like to see them go forward for a little while. They need to elevate the tag team. They need to elevate the tag team division. And
I got bad news for you. I think they're going to split them up pretty soon.
Oh shit!
I think that's the reason why Maryse returned. I think that's how they're going to split
really?
Morrison and Miz up.
There you go. It actually makes sense. It makes so much fucking sense, Swami.
Damn
it just makes sense. Yep. It really does. So, yeah, the freaking – they did Falcon Arrows in stereo, and they took the match at the end, Bad Bunny and Priest did. But then in the end, it turned out bad for Damian Priest, which, you know, I got to feel bad. I'm with Christian. I got to feel bad for the guy. I got to feel bad for the guy, man. It seems like they just fucking used him. They elevated him at the end of his NXT career to, you know, to get eyes on him somehow, some way, maybe a little bit of eyes going because they knew what was going forward for him. And then here he was. But, you know, you had Bunny doing fucking Bunny Destroyers and just stealing the fucking show. I mean, who the hell would have thought? You know, hitting with cross bodies and shit, you know, I mean, so, yeah, it was bad news for Damian Priest, and I don't think he'll ever recover from this. But we had Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks in a headlining match that I thought was underwhelming for, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. It was a good match, but to me, it had no business being the headlining match. And I think, you know, they did it, obviously, because it was two black women. They even brought it up. I mean, like, who the fuck thinks about this shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so, like, why do they have to bring race into everything? You know, I mean,
Michael Cole was scared to say that because then they'll say that he's racist. He was scared to say that on commentary. And I don't blame the guy. I don't blame him for being scared because if you say the wrong things, you will be called racist. That's how people are now.
Oh, man. Well, nevertheless, I honestly, I don't think it was a headlining worthy match. However, it was a good match, and I was happy for Bianca Belair, actually. What about that freaking welt on Sasha Banks' freaking ribs, man. And Sasha Banks, man, she's greyhounding. Give her a fucking rib or two, Albert, from your carne asada, bro. Give her a fucking rib or two, bro. And what do you think of the she's greyhounding out there, bro. You can see all her fucking ribs and shit, man. But what did you think about the match between Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks? And was it headline worthy?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, for night one, yeah, I think it was headline worthy. I think it was an historic match. I think WWE did do it on purpose, but I mean, if you're gonna do something like that on purpose, I mean, you're gonna pick two of the best performers that can do that. I think they did, and Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Interesting point that I brought up though in one of the forums was the are they gonna? I was kind of afraid that they were gonna reverse the decision on Monday Night Raw because Bianca Belair essentially, I mean, what she used was her hair. But essentially was a foreign object. But then somebody, you know, brought up the point that it is on her body, and it is much like Lex Luger's forearm plate. So I guess it's okay to use. I thought shut me up a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was a decent match and a good performance by both competitors. And yeah, I do think that if you're going to pick one of those matches from night one, to headline to main event night one, I think that they made a good choice in picking this match. I mean, they could have used the tag team match with Damian Priest and Bad Bunny and Miz and Morrison to headline, but instead they went with this, and I think it was a good choice.
Kevin West, your thoughts on the match, Bianca Belair, and I hope Bianca Belair gets a good run. I hope it's not just a short-ass run, you know, and she's a placeholder for somebody or some crazy shit. I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to see them turn her into a nice, good character with longevity and shit. Somebody you can believe. Kevier.
I think that it was a great match, and it was cool that they got the main event. Night one, I thought that if they were going to give them the main event, like it's weird, the two night thing, like it would have seemed like night two main event would be a better spot for them. If they really wanted to make that the thing, I don't know. But you couldn't have both
interesting
men's matches on the same night either. But other than that, Bianca's sick, and I mean, she would have gotten it eventually. So it's good for a character to have it now and be booked strong, hopefully. And hopefully builders give her some more character, get the Street Profits back involved somehow in something.
Why wouldn't her husband be out there celebrating with her? I question that. Yeah. Albert, what do you think of that?
It's because they did do that. It was off the air though.
It was off the air. He came out right when the camera shut off, or he was already walking out, and when they did the celebration. When they did the celebration for the fans in attendance, yeah, he hoisted her on his shoulders.
Nice.
But yeah, he was there.
Besides, she shouldn't celebrate with fucking losers who couldn't win the tag titles on Friday Night SmackDown, so she shouldn't be celebrating the losers.
But I mean,
but yeah, overall, I think
Bianca
Belair is an exceptional athlete.
Interesting stat. There's a kind of interesting stat about Bianca is that she's already 34, I want to say. Don't catch me lying. It's 32 or 34.
Oh, wow.
And they were just saying, like, compared to the other women on the roster right now, like, she's one of the older women. Her and Oscar are two of the older women on the roster. And so whatever that's worth, you know, her years on the roster may be a little shorter than some of the other people that we have right now.
Oh,
but,
wow. And here I thought she was a spring chicken. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What I thought about the match was good, but because of the build, I couldn't care less. I mean, it was
predictable. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. The build sucked.
I already knew who was going to win anyway, so I didn't give a fuck. Like, I already knew Bianca was going to win, so I just didn't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we all called Bianca better, I think.
Yeah, we did.
But when Sasha came out with different hair and shit, I was like, shit, man, I should win. Are they going to do one of them deals with the Purvos, you know? But ultimately, that's not what happened. And,
it would have been. They would have booed them out of the building and that would have happened.
So, yeah, winner by pinfall. Ooh, SmackDown Women's Champion Bianca Belair. Congrats to her. And I had no idea she was one of the older women on the roster. That's interesting. But yeah, she is a freaking beast out there, man. She looks just dominant. Just dominant. Yeah. I can't wait to see her against Charlotte or against if Becky Lynch comes back.
Charlotte's on Raw.
Yeah, but, you know, they'll have the draft or whatever coming up, and, you know, it could happen.
I don't think they're going to draft Charlotte because I'm pretty sure she's going to win the title on fucking Backlash.
Yeah, she did come back. She did return. She returned last night, had an interesting promo, came out, beat the shit out of everybody.
It's not interesting. It's the same fucking bullshit. She's the same character. Not interesting. Mm-hmm. It's the same bullshit.
It was a good promo.
She,
it was a really good in-ring promo.
But dude, she's worse than Big Show when it comes to face turn and heel turn. She's worse. Like a few weeks ago she was a face and now she's a heel again. She's worse than Big Show.
You just can't even consider her a freaking baby face, even when she turns baby face. It's the same thing with Orton. I mean, holy shit. I can't stand seeing him, though, when he backs up and puts his back up to the, you know, to the apron around the whole, you know, outside, to the whole skirt outside and shit, and the fans are there touching his back. I hate that shit. Because to me, he should never allow that. He should never allow that. Mm-hmm. But yet he does when they have him out there as a baby face. And I can't stand that shit, but I digress.
Let's go.
That's a good segue because we go into night two and it's freaking Randy Orton. Only he's a heel and I'm all confused about this shit, guys. I'm not going to lie. You guys heard me talking about it earlier. I'm all confused about it. The Fiend is a baby face back and he's with Alexa Bliss. Christian, let me finish, please. And then he's with Alexa Bliss. And then Alexa Bliss apparently turns on him, which I didn't even see it coming. And the whole thing was fucking short, and it was just like left me like, what the fuck? It was a what the fuck moment for me. Christian, clear things up for me.
This is fucking disastrous. First of all, they knew that the costume they gave the Fiend was fucking horrible, so that's why they made him unburned. First of all, the costume was shit. That's why they made him go back to his old mask. Secondly, this was not a fucking cinematic match. This was a regular fucking boring WrestleMania match, which these two are horrible when it comes to wrestling each other. And what the fuck? Why would you fucking book Alexa Bliss turn on Bray Wyatt to let Randy win? Why the fuck did Randy Orton win? Why? Like, this is like two WrestleManias in a row that Randy Orton has beaten Bray Wyatt. And this match was worse. Now the Fiend is fucking ruined.
Caveat, why the fuck would you book the way Christian just said? Alexa Bliss turning on the Fiend at WrestleMania, no less, for his second loss to Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Why?
The only thing I could think of is that I thought that they were booking her as Sister Abigail and that it was going to be Sister Abigail versus the Fiend. Doing something like that. That's not what it turned out being on Raw. So, it sucks. It kind of sucks. It totally sucked. I wanted a cinematic match. We haven't gotten any more cinematic matches. What the hell? Like, they had this great thing whenever they started doing these kind of like Jeremy Borash, I think was the guy helping do them. Like, they could have kept doing these. For whatever reason, they didn't. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess the last one that we got was the Undertaker's match. Undertaker and AJ was like the last cinematic match. So I was really banking on that whenever we didn't get it. And they kept the red lights on like it was a fucking Sin Cara match. I hated that. I was unhappy with how that all went down. But Alexa did look super cool with that gear on. And, like, the one thing that I like out of everything actually still
is Alexa.
Sound like
a
fanboy is Alexa's character. Alexa Bliss is badass.
Of course. but for night one, it was underwhelming. Albert, your thoughts on the start of night one with the Fiend and Randy Orton, and you're expecting a lot more. I mean, at least I was. You?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can't go wrong with Alexa Bliss no matter what the hell she's doing, man. Like, she's just Alexa Bliss. You know what I mean? Like, there's But I will tell you this. I dug the ending of it. I like what Kevin said. I like the costume. I hated the lights during the entire match. It kind of took you away from it. You expected them to, like, I guess, you know, have the lights on and have a knockdown, drag-out match, which they kind of did, you know what I mean? But it took away from it, the lights did. I dug the jack-in-the-box thing that they were going with. There were some pros and cons to that, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say it was all bad, but I wouldn't say that it was all good. But, you know, did it make a lot of sense? Not really. but I guess we're going to see.
But the fact that the Fiend lost, that is the problem. He lost. Like, you get, so the whole story is the Fiend gets burned to a crisp 3 months ago. He comes back and then he loses. You know how long this feud's been going? 6 months. This feud's been fucking going. And the Fiend, nobody got over in this fucking feud. Randy didn't get fucking over.
Does the feud continue, or does it get put on hold?
It's over. The feud's over.
Over. They're getting this Little Miss Bliss thing over, this little, like, version of her over.
Yeah, the whole thing will come back and tie in later.
No, it's done.
At least we hope. At least we fucking hope.
It's
Holy
over.
Shit.
No, Bray said, on the Raw, it's over. It's a fresh start.
That's what he said. I saw that clip where he said that it was a fresh start. Fuck, man.
It was all for nothing.
Oh, man.
Bray Wyatt's ruined. I can't take anything he does seriously no more. I can't take the Fiend seriously no more because...
You could?
I guess...
You could? Holy shit, his whole fucking history's been the same. He always fucking loses. He used to be, back when I was doing shows in the fucking early 2010s or whatever the hell, he was the fucking jobber to the stars. Even then, I mean, even now,
Bray,
I guess.
Bray loses a lot. Bray, it's a meme at this point that Bray Wyatt loses all the fucking time.
So, yeah, it's sickening, too. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler
one more thing there. This guy was supposed to, like, take over the Supernatural role in WWE. You know what I mean? Kind of taking over from The Undertaker. Why is he booked so fucking badly at WrestleMania, dude? You know what I mean? That was another thing, too. Yeah, I forgot. I was pissed that Bray Wyatt lost. But he's not going to have a streak or nothing. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
Oh, he's going to have
a losing streak.
Yeah, a losing streak. That's fucked up for Bray. But it is what it is. So
supposedly
is,
it's all his idea, right? This is his booking. Like, this is his story and Lex's. Like, it, from what I've seen,
no.
It's like Bray has influence on what the Fiend's doing.
You
right
know,
now.
I saw in that promo, bro, he channeled his inner Dusty Rhodes in that promo.
There's no way.
Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
There's no way Bray would book the fucking Fiend to lose to one RKO by Randy Orton by getting distracted by Black Dude. There's no fucking way he would book that. There's no fucking way. This is all Vince's idea. He hates Bray Wyatt, apparently. I think he generally hates Bray Wyatt at this point.
I thought it was cool that I had the music, and I've actually played that music for Break, that they were playing. It was a different theme, or was I just hearing things? Is that the real heavy theme?
The Fiend theme song?
Is this it? Like, this one gets real, like, industrial. This is the one that we're playing.
Oh,
And I've had this for months, and I've actually played it on the show before, coming back from break or what have you. It's a long clip, but yeah, I noticed that they busted it out. Have they played this thing before?
Yeah, they have, but now I'm not gonna take it seriously. Now I'm not gonna take anything Bray Wyatt. Even the Firefly Funhouse segments are trash now. Because we've seen it already. It's not funny. It's boring.
It is funny. It's always been trash, I guess. I don't know. I just find that it's funny annoyingly that this is what they've done with fucking Bray Wyatt. Time and time again, he's had badass characters. I mean, remember when he fucking first came out as Bray Wyatt, he had the fucking hat, and everybody was going around wearing those hats?
Yeah.
You know, and then they just shifted him into this fucking monster and shit, and the whole time, and even then he was losing and shit. He would lose the high-profile matches. It's like he gets you to the fucking very end, and then it's premature, man. Boom, and it's over. And he loses.
Like you were saying, Chuck, you know, he came out, he had the hat, the little flower shirt, the white pants, you know, he was looking real cool, you know what I mean? And, you know, his mannerisms, the way he's just a star, man. Like Bo Rotunda, I'm sorry, Wyndham Rotunda, not Bo Rotunda, his brother, Wyndham Rotunda, the man himself, Husky Harris, whatever you want to call him, is a goddamn bona fide star. He's, so
I like the promos that he cuts in the Firefly Funhouse. It's really badass. Like I see a lot of talent. He's very talented.
His promos as the original leader of the Wyatt family, I mean, that was just...
Those were killer.
That you would see that in WWE television. And then, like, of course, WWE gets into wanting to overproduce, you know what I mean? And they don't let him be him, and they book him badly. But he still shines through no matter what he's doing. In spite of all the bad booking, in spite of all the fucking crap WWE throws to him, he always shines through 100% no matter what.
Okay,
so
Bray.
This guy get booked. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something, Bray. You're always going to look good, but you're never going to fucking win. What do you say to that, Bray? You're always going to look good, but you're never going to fucking win.
You know, they're not booking him like they booked Undertaker in the earlier mid-90s, because by this point Bray Wyatt is already like in the Ministry of Dark. If you're comparing him to the Undertaker, at this point Bray Wyatt's already in the Ministry of Darkness phase, or even like close to like the American Badass stage. If you're comparing careers, you know what I mean? So he's already been there for years. You know what I mean? I think, like, as this character, at least 8 years, maybe longer. And he like I said, he's charismatic. You know what I mean? He wears the white hat. Like you said, everybody was wearing a white hat. Everybody put their cell phones up when he comes out. You know, the fireflies, all this stuff. When you have a good wrestling character, when kids, like, pretend, or even some adults, too, and teenagers, pretend to be that person, or can be that person for Halloween. Or, you know what I mean, like that type of stuff. Or when kids get the action figures of all the wrestlers and everybody wants to be Bray Wyatt or, you know, something like that. He has that charisma that hasn't existed in WWE for a very long time.
Interesting. So, I think we'll leave that there with Bray Wyatt. And
yeah.
We've got a lot of show to go where I'm going to have to start cherry picking.
Yeah.
And so
we got
way too much shit and not enough time, so I'm going to cherry pick. That way when we cut off and fuck it. Whatever's left is left. So we have Rhea Ripley winning the title. This was one of the matches that I missed. However, I have to talk about it because there was a title change. Winner by pinfall, Rhea Ripley. And so it happened with, let's see.
Awesome.
It happened. Yeah, tell us about it.
Again, another build-up that was terrible, and we all knew Rhea Ripley was going to win. It sucked.
Yeah, but
like,
the ending of the match. So Asuka
nothing.
Was,
it was nothing. She just hit her finisher out of nowhere, and then she won. Nothing worthwhile happened, dude. It was just a raw match on WrestleMania. This match was nothing. It was just a regular match. It was average. Nothing really spectacular happened.
Well, we had a move. We had a superplex on the apron. And like Albert said, this was some of that apron shit. And, of course, that was it, pretty much. Asuka kicked her in the face, but Ripley came back with a riptide for the win. Albert Inspector, let's get your view of this match. Was it nothing?
No, I thought it was enjoyable. I always enjoy Asuka, and I always enjoy Rhea. You know what I mean? They're good. I mean, they were good together. A little missed match, maybe, because Rhea is so tall. And they have, you know what I mean? But like you said, and another one of those, ring apron spots.
She looks dominant.
Just whatever else. Yeah, yeah. But I fully expected, Rhea to take this one home. And it was okay. It was all right. It wasn't the best match of both nights, but it was pretty enjoyable.
Kevier, your thoughts on the Raw Women's Championship exchanging hands? Rhea Ripley, new champion.
I'm cool with it. I'm totally cool with it. Rhea looks awesome. Her moveset's awesome. She's huge. I'm all about her being in a powerful position and hopefully feuding with better people. I mean, she's held. What's her status? She's held the NXT Women's Championship, the NXT UK Women's Championship, and the Raw Women's Championship now. So, good for her. No, I mean, the chick looks like $1 million. Like I said, she's got a long career ahead of her. I feel like if she was around like 20 years ago, she would have been a megastar.
Yeah.
Well, longer than that, maybe. Even in the 2000s, yeah, but even in like the 90s, she would have been a megastar.
Yeah, well, guess what's in her fucking roadblock? You guessed it, Charlotte Flair, and she's going to probably end her title reign already the next pay-per-view, so don't be surprised.
Mm. Yeah, I won't be surprised at all. I will not be surprised at all. Let's get to the, we had the other championship change hands, which was the Apollo Crews, new Intercontinental Champion. And I heard you guys ripping on this earlier. Christian was ripping on this earlier. Yeah, the whole thing is, man, I mean, we bitch about, we don't have feuds that are long enough. And this was a long-ass feud that told the story of Apollo Crews getting his ass beat the whole time. But why did he deserve the fucking match again, though? Who's to say why? Maybe because he changed his character and he revealed himself. And so maybe Big E had to beat the new guy too, I guess, is the story that they were to. Who the fuck knows? But nevertheless, we had a new champion. Big E's promo, that he grew up there in Tampa and shit like that. I thought that was pretty cool. Kevin, your thoughts on that feud and the ultimate, the title changing hands. Shit. The payoff, so to speak.
So, I don't know. I don't even know if I saw the whole match of that. How did it end?
I'll tell you how it happened. Bubba fucking Tunde from NXT, also known as Dabba
Kato,
came out of nowhere. Helped Apollo Crews win, and that's about fucking it. And that's how this feud fucking ended. What a fucking payoff.
Yeah, so I remember that now. It's like I was into the match, and then that guy came out, and I was thinking that you had called that he would interfere against Braun, but instead he interfered to help Apollo. And it just looks like Raw. Like, it's just like we always get this where pay-per-views are just like watching Raw. So both nights had matches like that where I'm just like, oh, so they're just doing something they could have done on TV.
God damn it, you're right.
Like, it's a waste of my time. Like, I want WrestleMania to be like Wrestle Kingdom. I want WrestleMania to be like an event where we get the best wrestling in the world all in one night. Not a match, not a night where we get a bunch of bullshit storylines like we get on Monday every night.
I would expect it.
You know, okay, I wasn't going to say this, man. And, yeah, that was Davikino. It took me a while to realize who that was because I didn't even recognize that motherfucker. I haven't seen him since Raw Underground, that fucking horrible shit.
He had them clowny-ass white pants on. He had them old Adidas stripes.
I ain't seen Davikino since then. And then here he is coming up like he's one of, Apollo Crews' generals or something, which, can be cool if they work it right. Here's the thing. I like Apollo Crews, and I've loved him since he was UA Nation. I think this guy is a phenomenal athlete. He needs work on his character, and that's why he's in WWE. I mean, not why he's in WWE, but that's what he's doing while he's in WWE. And so he needs work on his character. His work on his his mannerisms, his speech, his promo skills, all that stuff too.
What do you call him? This character, UA Nation.
I think. What's that?
UA Nation.
UA Nation.
Yeah.
UA Nation. UA Nation. That was his name on the independents. But
I remember that.
And watch some of his stuff. He had phenomenal matches. You know, he was the buzz of the indies like 5-6 years ago. But I dig his character now, and I don't think it was a racist gimmick. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago. I think it's just some same thing along the lines of like Sheamus being the Celtic warrior and Drew McIntyre with his Scottish roots and
I'm cool
too. I think
character
along
myself.
Those same.
What's
that?
I'm cool with the accent out of nowhere. We're like, is the accent racist? But I guess it's
I just don't like his promos when he's talking with the accent. I think it's terrible.
Yeah,
that's my own.
Let me tell you guys.
Okay, well,
it was the same with me with Booker T when he was doing that whole "Oh hell, King Booker," and he thought he was an Englishman or something. And I hated it. I fucking hated it.
That's fine.
So I guess that's where you guys are with it. But for me, I don't mind it. The Apollo Crews.
Yeah, it is a little rougher on the edges. You can tell he's forcing it a little bit. But I was going back to the whole thing where I don't think that his character, his gimmick right now, is racist or is intended to be racist or intended to be a rib in any way. But I do think that this match was a little bit out of bad taste. I think a Nigerian drum fight between two African American guys.
Yeah.
It bothered me the whole match. I was trying to watch it, thinking like, Jesus Christ, are they? There's really fucking green drums sitting on top of tables here. Like, I don't know. I don't think that it was intentionally racist, but I think it might have been uncomfortable for some people.
Cultural appropriation, maybe.
Yeah.
They didn't even use the fucking drums as weapons anyway. They not a single one. Oh, what the fuck is the point of calling it a Nigerian drum match?
Hey, you're right on that one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, why aren't they using the drums? I was like, they're going to butt the drum, and it's going to be on his head, and he's going to run around like an idiot with the drum on his head. Like, no, we never got that spot.
So, yeah, a double Kato has apparently been repackaged and is now Apollo Crews' henchman is what's going on there.
His name is Baba Tunde.
Whatever the fuck. So we had Sheamus defeating Riddle. Did anybody really care about this or anything?
No. No, because we've seen this match already on Raw 1,000 times. And plus, those matches on Raw were much better than this one because this one was a botched mess.
They really were.
In this fucking
match. Yeah, I did not enjoy this fucking match. Did not enjoy this match as much as I would have hoped. Let's get Albert quick thoughts on Sheamus and Riddle.
Going back to what Kevin said, it just felt like a Raw or SmackDown match. You know what I mean? It was just
there you go.
Wait, what was that? They overdo this. What was
just like the Swan
Sheamus,
says, they overdo this shit.
Sheamus
they
won, right?
Sheamus won, new champion.
You could have had that match on SmackDown, dude. I mean, you could have shortened that match down. And I like Riddle, and I like Sheamus. Pretty much every performer I like. There's very few performers that I don't like, and it's because of this. It's because it takes a certain level of commitment, and it takes a certain amount of athletic ability and just all-around badassery to be on the WWE roster already. It doesn't matter if you're fucking Barry Horowitz or fucking Stevie Richards or fucking Hollywood Hulk Hogan, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to perform on that level, and some people don't deserve it, some people do. So I automatically respect everybody on the roster, even though I'm not a huge fan of them. So when you put two guys like this, I'm never going to shit on their abilities. I'm never going to shit on anything that they can do in the ring or backstage or in front of a camera doing promo or nothing like that. What I will say on is the fact that sometimes people have more star power than other people. And Sheamus is a star, but he's not really – he's a mid-card star. And same thing with Riddle. So, I mean, you have two guys fighting it out, and they put on a decent match. It wasn't, the best, like I said. But it was a match that could have existed on SmackDown or Monday Night Raw. Not even the main event of SmackDown or Monday Night Raw, like a top-of-the-hour match at Monday Night Raw.
It goes the same thing can be said about the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match. I mean, just because you add Logan Paul, a YouTube sensation in the fucking mix, isn't going to make the match any fucking different. We've seen this fucking match countless fucking times, guys.
It's the same shit, you know? Hold on, 1 second, guys. Going back to what Kevin said just a few minutes ago about how he wants WrestleMania to be more like Wrestle Kingdom or even like Triple Mania type match, spectacle of showcasing wrestling. That Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match should have been way more than it should have been had you known the history of what was going on between these two guys for the last 20 years. Now, they touched it,
right.
They touched about it, they talked about it, but it wasn't like brought up. If I was producing this match, and I know I'm skipping ahead to that, but if I was producing that match, I'll go ahead and say my shit about the KO versus Sami Zayn match right now. I would have had young pictures of him in the promo before. I wouldn't have even like dealt with this whole fuck conspiracy thing. I would have ended the conspiracy thing months ago. And then Logan Paul was just kind of thrown in the whole thing. I have no idea what the fuck he was even there. Something about a tweet. I really would have put this match on a fucking pedestal and said, guys, go out there and do the best fucking 20 fucking minute match you can possibly do on the grandest stage of them all. And then put this promo together, hide the fact that they're friends, make it a fucking emotional investment. But instead, they fucking spent millions of dollars to bring a celebrity in for no fucking reason.
Sickening.
Which, by the way, got fucking booed out of the fucking building. Nobody liked this fucking guy. He got fucking booed.
It's fucking sickening.
It was totally pointless. It was totally pointless for him to be there, and they squandered it. Yeah. But we were touching on Sheamus and Riddle was what we were on.
Yeah, actually, I just skipped over that so that we could, But yeah, you can speak about Sheamus and Riddle. Hell yeah, bring it.
No, I mean, I just echo Albert's thoughts. Me and Albert kind of have similar views on both of these situations. Yeah, they totally ruined. What would have been their highest profile, like blood feud on the card next to Bray and Randy, this thing could have been like a way bigger thing for Owens and Sami to finally face each other. And Logan Paul being there totally ruined it and was stupid. The Matt Riddle match and the Sheamus match is something that could have happened on Raw, something that could have happened at Backlash, whatever. They could have let my boy Matt Riddle hold the belt a little bit longer. They could have let him look good at WrestleMania. They didn't have to give it to old fucking Sheamus who kicked Bryan in the face in 18 seconds and fucking won the belt or whatever at Mania 1 year already. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, I don't know. It's just shit like that. It's just like, I do love Sheamus, but no, they didn't build any stars, and or they hurt people and they put over
people
that have been there forever.
And I love Kevin Owens. You know, Sami Zayn, I've never been too fond of him. However, I do see that he is money. I mean, like, he plays his character very well. And, I mean, you know, he is fucking really talented to
Sheamus
be out there doing his part. And, of course, Sheamus is just a badass fucking brawler type. And, and he plays his character to a fucking T as well. And Kevin Owens, I don't know about his character. I guess he's a family man type character, which is why they put that Stone Cold Steve Austin type shit on him. He's a common man type guy. But, you know, I still love his talent in the ring. And it could have been a great match without all this Logan Paul shit.
Yeah.
Another
annoying factor was fucking Bayley two nights in a row. Like, what the fuck? What was the point of that? What was the point of her? Like, two nights in a row, she just fucking...
She got clowned by
the
Bellas.
It was
the
best part of the fucking show both nights.
No, like, she did nothing. She did nothing correctly.
Bayley being antagonizing like that, to me, I dug it. I did the character, you know... It's another layer to her character. She's just so fucking annoying. She's there to annoy you.
And
she's doing her job.
And then she gets
very effectively
beat up by the Bella. And then she gets beat up by the Bella twins, which also they also get booed.
That is true. She did get beat up by the Bella twins, and
who?
They did get booed.
Real quick, I'm sorry. Who won out of I didn't see this one when we talked about it. I'm like looking through all these little pieces of paper that I wrote the predictions on. But Zayn and Owens, it was Owens that won, right? And then he stunned Logan
Kevin
Paul.
Kevin Owens won.
Yeah, Kevin Owens took
me
that
you,
match.
Me and you got that right, Christian. Chuck picked Zayn, though. He didn't get the point.
It was
obvious that Kevin Owens was going to win. He needed this more than fucking Sami Zayn.
So, guys, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, of course, they ended up winning the match against Natalya and Tamina. I don't think anything needs to be said.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't think anything
needs to be said. It's not shouldn't have happened to begin with. And now, guess
Nia
what?
Jax,
we have nobody.
Was it a waste of your time, Nia Jax, this match?
They have another problem. They have a problem here. They have nobody left to fight for these two for the
back
row. They have nobody left.
I have this telepathic thing going on, Jack.
Yeah.
I guess you slipped my mind.
They have nobody left to fight for these tag titles now, so they're fucked.
Going back to Bayley, it was like a bad Mad TV skit that didn't work that she was doing there. But why did she have a match again? Is she injured right now, or what's going on with her?
No, they have nothing booked for her right now. They have nothing for her.
Yeah,
they just wanted to.
What a bad excuse.
That's terrible to hear that they have nothing for her. I mean, it's a freaking heartbreaker. And, you know, I thought about the same thing. I was like, why the fuck is Bayley not in a program with somebody? You know, but no, they have nothing for her. So fuck it. That's what she's doing. Clowning at WrestleMania.
Here's another thing. About the whole women's thing. Okay. Like you said, spots and all that stuff too. You had the Nia Jax who's her partner again?
Shayna Baszler.
Anyway, Shayna Baszler. You had Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler versus Natty and Snuka, right? And you had that match, right? But okay, here's the thing. Okay, you had Tamina and Natty on both nights. Those two wrestlers, right? We're on both nights of the fucking show wrestling matches. I don't understand how that happened or why that happened, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's because of the gauntlet match that happened. The winner got the title shot the next night, right? What it should have been, they could have had two extra girls, Bayley and somebody else, right, fight for the titles on night two, and then the winner of the gauntlet match on night one
could have faced for the title that Backlash or something like that too. So then you have, you know, you've got more girls on the program, or more, you know, female wrestlers in the program, two more, and then, you know, you don't have two other girls working both nights when nobody else, not even the biggest stars, are working both nights, you know what I mean, of WrestleMania. It is something weird to me that, you know, that happened.
That is crazy. Yeah. That is a crazy thing that those two got to work double. That's crazy when you put it that way.
You had all these people on that weren't on WrestleMania, right? And then you had Natty and Tina working both nights. It was fucking weird.
It is weird as fuck. I'd be mad.
Yeah. I'd be mad too.
Now we have the triple threat match, and it's absurdity.
The triple threat match, which of course brought about some great promos, I thought, going into it. We had, I thought, three great promos actually. One from even Reigns himself delivered an outstanding promo, I thought. But Daniel Bryan's promo was fucking amazing, man, and I rarely use that word, but man, and then especially for a promo, but man, he really delivered the goods out there. And if you guys haven't heard it, go back and check it out. You really have to hear it. And Edge's promo too, man, was freaking phenomenal. I mean, he really meant it.
It would all prove pointless because the wrong person won. Roman won. The wrong person won.
Well, despite
it was like
won.
a little Dewey Cox there. Are you channeling a little Dewey Cox's father there, Christian?
No, because again, Roman had to get held by Jey Uso again to win the fucking match again.
Well, here's the thing.
Make Roman look fucking weak.
You're never gonna win clean. Listen here, son. You're never gonna win clean.
And so now we're supposed to believe that this fucker is going to hold this title until next year's WrestleMania to face fucking Rock? Is that what we're supposed to believe now?
Man, I'm definitely going to be there if it's Rock. And then I've been hearing a lot of buzz about this new Rock show. Kevye, of course, brought it up. I want to say it was in our private group text. I just scoffed at it. But I've heard it from multiple people now.
Young Rock is cool.
Young Rock is cool. So I'm going to have to put that on my list. Is it on Fox or what channel is it?
I think it's on Hulu and Peacock probably.
Can't watch Peacock. Stop watching.
I don't know. I don't know if it's on Peacock, but it's definitely on Hulu.
What's the Peacock catchphrase, Kevin?
I'm sorry?
What's the Peacock catchphrase? Can't not watch Peacock?
Can't not watch, yeah.
Yeah,
so fucking streams mess up all the time. You can't not pause is more like it.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel about the main event of the Triple Threat, you know, like...
That was the best match of the weekend. That was what I hung around for. So it was, good. And it goes back to what I said about the Lashley and Drew match, where seeing Roman win, seeing it in like that was more satisfying to me than seeing either of the other guys win, because it means that they're, I don't know whatever I say is not going to make any sense to you, of course, because you hate Roman so much, you know what I'm saying? But it means that they're trying to establish that this guy is a monster heel and that this guy is a super credible threat and that these guys were foolish to think that
but
they could hang with him.
But he's not. Jey Uso always helps him to win, so he's not even strong.
Here's the deal, son. You're going to win all the time, but you're never going to win clean.
You don't think people are going to find this stale every pay-per-view? Jey Uso's going to have to win. You don't think people are going to get bored out of this shit?
But in the end, we're going to turn you into a baby face. The baby face I've always dripped over. And then we're going to take you to a new level.
It's always something like in the same vein, but it's different every time. And, I mean, this time, you know, yeah, Jey came out and helped him, but then Jey also got the shit beat out of him. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm fine with Jey being a part of it, too. Like, having stables and having people coming in and interfering and stuff is a good thing if they're going to do it right.
He's got a new name,
too. All the time.
He's got a new name. They refer to him as something new. I can't remember.
Oh, dang, we're down to
right, Jey.
We made it through.
No, it was something really crazy. Christian, do you remember what they referred to him as? Like,
I don't know.
I don't remember, but I was like, really? Yeah, fuck, this better not stick, Michael Cole.
I don't know. I'm not saying the Triple Threat match wasn't a great match. I'm just saying that Edge winning the Royal Rumble was for nothing then, because why did he win the Royal Rumble in the first place then? Why involved Edge anyway? Like,
you know, it's not everybody who wins the Royal Rumble is going to win at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? That's good. I was expecting Edge to win. And I'll tell you this real quick, because I know we're running out of time. I've got like 3 minutes left. But this match felt like a WrestleMania match. It was one of the few matches that didn't, didn't feel like a regular-ass match. But, yeah, it was definitely hard-hitting and definitely entertaining from all three guys. But I expected Edge to walk out of there with a title. But I guess we're going to see. I guess are they still trying to lure back Brock Lesnar? Because I have a feeling that Brock Lesnar might come back either against Bobby Lashley or Roman Reigns. But I'd like to see both, maybe during SummerSlam. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, I thought this match was badass. I thought that the right person won. I was going for Roman Reigns. I think I was the only one that picked Roman Reigns. But, yeah, I thought Roman Reigns, you know, if he doesn't win this match, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing if he doesn't win. So, of course, he had to fucking win. He can't call himself the head of the table if he doesn't win this freaking match. So, they're going with this persona for him for the long haul. I'm just wondering if Brock Lesnar returns to fucking SmackDown, and then what does Paul Heyman do, or does he return to Raw without Paul Heyman? Or does he return at all? Because he's waiting for the money. He's waiting for the money. He's waiting for that phone to ring. So we'll be right back to get these thoughts, okay? We're still going to finish out. We're going to finish out the show as normal. But we're going to keep going into overtime for a few minutes until we settle out these issues. So if you're listening live, you're going to cut off, and then you can come back and listen to the end. But thank you very much for listening, Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. So, guys, let's continue with this. Where do we go from here with Roman Reigns?
Fucking no. He has no fucking credible people to face him for this fucking title left. There's nobody left. Nobody credible left. I don't want to see him versus Seth Rollins. Like, nobody left.
So is it time to bring in Brock Lesnar, Albert?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the money's there, if they're making deals, I don't know if Brock Lesnar quietly retired or not. He didn't really say anything, but I know that they're trying to court him back because so is you know, Tony Khan over there on AEW is trying to get him over there. You know that they're trying to work out a deal. So,
what do you make of Roman Reigns winning? Who beats him now?
Like I said, it's going to take a Brock Lesnar or even somebody like somebody who was a Daniel Bryan type level back in 2016 or whatever, what have you, that type of character, that up-and-coming young whippersnapper, the underdog. If I take a real underdog is what I'm trying to say, to simplify
Shorty G,
what I'm trying to say for my white call it out or Topa.
No, I'll tell you who I think it is. I think Tessa Blanchard signs and comes in and beats Roman Reigns.
Thanks, Roman.
Oh, that's a long shot. Very right.
No, I'm kidding. Kevier? I mean, who the hell comes in and who takes out this guy?
First off, if Tessa Blanchard has finished her sensitivity training, then I think that I would like her in WWE too. But other than that, no, I don't know who beats Roman. Roman's going to beat himself. He's gonna back himself into a corner, and his big cousin's going to come home to sweep him up. And it might be at SummerSlam, not WrestleMania. And then you're going to get The Rock versus John Cena part 3 at SummerSlam or at WrestleMania in Dallas.
And then John Cena versus The Rock for president.
Yeah.
No, oh, God.
Vice president. President and vice president. They'd be running mates.
Oh, hell.
If I wasn't going to vote for The Rock, if he announced that John Cena was his VP, I would vote. I would, at that point, I would be like, okay, let's do this.
I got to vote now. I got to
yeah.
vote. Because it's The Rock.
I'd be like, that's okay, Rocky.
Guys, anything else, man? Do we have anything else? Did we leave it all out there?
I'd like to talk about this at the beginning of the show a little bit more, too, when we're still live. But there's a lot of local wrestling coming up right now, like in the Houston area. I'm sure over where Albert is, there's just, like, wrestling popping up everywhere. So just start checking out, like, local promotions around you, wherever you are. Just Google, like, just get on Facebook and look up, like, your town's name and wrestling, and you'll find something.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah,
Loco
has, like, a bunch of
events. Events, Christian? You should check it out. They're fun.
Yeah, I would. I'll see.
Get out of the fucking house.
Depending on how they do it, different companies do it well, but there's definitely like continued storyline and characters and stuff. Loco Wrestling has that. You can watch all their matches on YouTube. So check out Title Match Wrestling and Loco Title Fight Title
yeah.
Match Title
yeah,
Fight Network.
Yeah,
I think it was called.
I love local wrestling. You know what I mean? Like especially what's going on here in San Antonio. There's a lot of wrestling going on in Texas. And I'm assuming in all over the United States of America, they check it out, like Kevin said, but don't check out. There's a certain company out of Dallas, and I'm going to shit on them right now.
Oh, damn. Let's get
glorified backyard wrestling promotion that's getting these guys and talking a lot of shit online. And they booked Teddy Hart. You know, I don't know if you guys are following what's going on here with this.
Oh.
Whole big old backlash. So, you know. And then, so the venue dropped them. Now they're literally moving to somebody's backyard where they belong. So you got to be careful.
So they booked Teddy, and that's what got them heat? They booked Teddy, and people got pissed off?
They booked Teddy. No, they already had heat to begin with because the owner, I'm not even going to say his name. I'm not even going to say the name of the company. I'll gladly share you all the link right now because I don't even want to give them any sort of promotion or anything like that. But the owner of the promotion, he's just a real big cockhead, and he's just a piece of shit, you know, and supposedly hard to deal with, and doesn't like to pay people, and just, you know, borderline probably racist, who knows, but this guy. And so he's been booking shows over there, and, like, the flyers are just, like, crap. Their website just
I've probably seen
them.
I probably know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you probably know who I'm talking about, man. And it's just one of those things, and it's a big deal right now. So everybody's kind of glad that they got dropped from the venue and they moved it. And they're selling tickets for a show right now. So everybody, be careful because they're selling $20 tickets for a show right now. And they don't even have a fucking venue right now. They're just selling a ticket to a blind show in somebody's backyard probably. So. Yeah, like there's like 95% of the, indie federations are like phenomenal, hard work, everybody, they're A-class, high quality matches. And then you got those 5% that are just literally just a bunch of fucking literal backyard wrestling wannabe scammers. And you got to watch out for that. But I figured I'd bring that up right then and there just to kind of get that off my chest. It's been bothering me for a few days.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Well, you know, there's been people, there's been situations too. Like Teddy's done some messed up stuff. But if we're talking about people being booked in Texas when they shouldn't have been or couldn't have been or could have been, you know, we talk about Hernandez a lot on this show, and for a long time, Hernandez couldn't get booked in Texas. Hernandez got in a fight at a show, and he couldn't get booked anywhere down here because the guy that he got in a fight with has a really good reputation in Texas. And there was, like, a whole thing that came out of it. And, you know, Loco has had Hernandez on several of the shows, and I was surprised by this whenever I heard it because the first time in years I heard of him coming back to Texas in a And you know, he's been great every time. He's a crowd favorite. The guy is really, like, active with everybody. If he had a bad day one day and got in a fight backstage, like, my opinion is kind of like, you know, I don't know what the fight was over, so I can't speculate.
Well,
but if they just got in a fight and that's why the guy doesn't get booked, then whoever didn't book him for 5-7 years is stupid because the guy went to TNA and he's a household name for people that watch Impact and shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, local wrestling. I mean, they're good at that, and it was I remember hearing about something like this. I don't know too much about that, but I'm glad that Hernandez is back on the indies. It seems like local wrestling is working with a lot of guys, not a lot, but a couple of guys here and there. I don't want to name any. Well, I'll go ahead and say it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a wrestler by the name of Rudy Boy Gonzalez.
Yeah, I know Rudy Boy. I don't know him, but I've known who he is.
He has
a promotion
the uncle,
too, right?
Yeah, he runs Texas Wrestling Academy out of San Antonio for the last year.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a hard guy. He's like he's a hard trainer. He's a build the mind.
He was the guy who trained
Morris
for
really.
Sean.
Yeah, he trained a bunch of guys. He's actually the uncle of Raquel Gonzalez, who is NXT Women's Champion right now. And a few years back, he cut a promo, I think, at Heavy Metal Wrestling here in San Antonio, dropped the F-bomb a couple of times during his promo, just really trying to get heat. And, you know, a lot of fans and a lot of, you know, I was kind of shocked. I saw the promo on YouTube, and I was kind of shocked by it, too. And a lot of fans and then a lot of his peers kind of shunned him away for the last few years because of that. He's been getting a lot of shit, you know what I mean, for it. And it's glad to see that local wrestling is such a diverse, you know, company. It's giving people, like, second chances, you know what I mean? And you know, a little – not maybe like a second chance, but a chance for somebody to, like, redeem themselves, you know what I mean? Because I don't know too much about Rudy, but I've met him a couple of times at indie shows. I've seen him wrestle in Beeville and up here in San Antonio. And he's a genuinely okay guy. He's a hard guy, and he's not going to – You know, he was a heel playing his heel persona, but it's you know, if somebody apologizes and you know, tries to make right, I'd say give him an extra chance. Same thing with, like, Tessa Blanchard as well, like you said, Kevin.
Yeah.
I think it's time to give people extra, you know, a chance
but
to
But not the Hulk Hogan. Fuck the Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. The Hulk Hogan didn't say anything. he didn't apologize to anybody.
Yeah, he's a fucking prick.
Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah, so basically, WrestleMania fucking stunk this year.
Yeah, give us your rating, Christian.
Well, for night one, I would have given it like 5 out of 10 for night one.
Good.
For night two, it would have been, it's 3 out of 10. So my overall rating for night for the whole WrestleMania, 2.5 out of 10. This WrestleMania fucking stunk. This was a terrible WrestleMania. Last year's was a little bit better, but this year fucking stunk. I'm sorry. This WrestleMania didn't feel like WrestleMania at all. This was horrible. This stunk.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I didn't think it delivered. The matches, some of them were okay, you know, and like, but some of the storylines, I just was not into it. But yeah, overall, I'm just going to rate the whole thing as a whole, and I'm going to give it I'll give it a 3.5 out of 10. I mean, there, it had its moments, but shit, man. I fell asleep the night too. And, you know, I just wasn't really invested in the whole thing. But I'm still watching wrestling, and I watch the shit out of it on Pluto, and I fucking love it. But just this WWE thing right now, I'm just off from it. But we'll still talk about it, obviously. Kevier?
I'm going to give the whole night a 4, I think, which is probably the lowest rating I've given a pay-per-view on the show. But yeah, no, the build was trash. And then the matches that I felt like I was ready to see, they just either went too quick or had a stupid finish. The matches that I wanted to see, they just went by too quick, you know. And then we didn't get the cinematic match with Bray. Just too many cliffhangers and made it feel like a Raw. So overall, I give it like 4 out of 10. And there was something else. The Snickers thing really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Bigger than the WrestleMania sign.
Over the top. Snickers.
And then other than that, I feel like there was something else that happened. Maybe I know I took a mental note to bitch about Snickers, but I can't think of anything else that just really stuck out.
The camera angles
were trash, yeah. They cut the camera too much.
The camera angles.
This cartoony zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out when they're hitting, or it's silly.
And of
but,
course,
you know,
there's always Elias's blouse.
The good thing to not be totally negative leaving off of it is like I do like the Raw after WrestleMania when they kind of restart some stuff, even though you know we could get a different direction moving forward now. We could get them doing something different now.
Looks like Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke.
Keeps me watching that thinks that maybe something will be different. But it looks like WrestleMania Backlash is what's in store.
Yeah, it looks like Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are going to be having something to say about that. They look like they're emerging. We'll see how that develops. Rancho Punk Rocker, your final thoughts and rating on WrestleMania. 37.
I'll go ahead and combine both nights, and out of 10, I'm going to give them a 5, mainly because of the talent and what the wrestlers did with what they could do, and of course being limited, you know what I mean. But you know, like I said, the monkeys in the control room like really took me out of it on night one. I'm not even sure what match. I'm going to have to go back and watch it. But there was like they said that one match where it was just like cut after cut after cut after cut after cut after cut. It was just like mind-boggling, and it felt like you know this whole WrestleMania was just real like slapped together, and it's weird to say because you know it's WrestleMania and WrestleMania should be like the biggest event that they're focusing on all year long and getting production ready and getting everything ready, and it just felt like it was just like a huge, and I don't even want to say like a huge indie show, but like a huge fucking like just production that would just had a lot of fucking fans there. You know what I mean? Like, just fucking put it together.
Just
and
come see
was.
Some old wrestling, y'all. Just come on see some wrestling.
Yeah, they're just giving us something just to give us something, and, you know, they don't really give a shit what we think about it either way.
Your favorite WWE
superstars
from 2019 will be there. Remember 2019, folks? Get your tickets now.
And it just seemed like a lot of the guys, too, like the writers and producers and Vince McMahon and even Shane McMahon, we were just phoning it in. Like, we're just, like, phoning it in the last few weeks. Like I said, Shane McMahon didn't actually fucking stop this entire time. Was he too busy backstage, you know what I mean, to say, hey, calling this guy stupid is stupid.
I remember what I was going to bitch about. Is the crowd. The crowd sucked both nights. The crowd was not as hype as I thought they were going to be. There was points where there was hype, but, like, night one, the first couple matches, dude, that crowd was dead as shit. And I was like, is it just because of the rain? What's going on? The crowd was just dead.
Dead-ass crowd.
Who
won the predictions? Albert?
It was me.
Oh, hell.
It was close. It was really close. I won by one. You guys were tied. I won by 1 point. There were several where we guessed the same thing. There was a couple where only one of us got it right, and then it ended with I got to the win.
Wow. That just tells you how bad WrestleMania is.
Yeah, it was bad. It was all right. It was all right. You don't have high expectations.
Wide-eyed, sure. With his wide-eyed, innocent stare, and see all the no, I did the ones that I thought were going to win the most were the ones I got wrong for sure. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
So crazy that Roman won. It is crazy for Edge. Why the fuck did they make Edge win the Rumble? Why did Edge go all the way to Mania? Just to get eyes on Mania. Just so they could have Daniel Bryan, former main event, Edge return. Like, it's a cool story for Mania. But not to give them the payoff and to have Roman get that payoff is it.
Now I'm thinking that this guy's going to hold the title again until next year to face the fucking Rock. And I'm telling you, who the fuck is going to give a fuck about it until then? Who the fuck's going to give a fuck about this guy holding the title until next WrestleMania?
I want to see the Rock come back and be like on SmackDown. If that's going to be the case, let's have the Rock come back like every other SmackDown or once a month. It'd be like SmackDown's the Rock show, kind of do like a callback to when it was like the Rock's heyday on SmackDown, and Rock just comes back and starts talking about how it's the Rock show, not Roman's house ball.
I'm gonna take you guys one further, and I'm gonna go ahead and make a call right now, a prediction, if you will, and I'm gonna say that Roman's next victim will be. I just saw Sheamus freaking attack what's his name with the bro guy with his fucking little bicycle, and then the bro guy's like, was it something I said?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But I'm going to say
that
his next victim, Roman Reigns, will be Big E. They took the title off of him. You know, they took the title off of him so they can elevate him is what I'm thinking. And if they didn't...
Yeah, but he's not going to win. Yeah, but then what's the point?
He's
not winning the title.
He's not going to
win. There's no point. There's no point.
He's not going to win. Yes, there is a point. He's fodder for Roman Reigns. That's the point.
And it sucks.
And you just have to come to terms with it, bro.
It sucks, yeah.
But, yeah, that's the point. He's fodder for Roman Reigns, and he's going to get a shot at the big time and stuff, but he's going to come up short. And, you know, but he's still an 11-time tag team champion, you know, and you can't take that away from him. But, yeah, it's fucked up, man. Roman Reigns for the next year. Christian from Philly is calling it. I'm not too sure that I'm not calling the same thing. I mean, what else is there? What else could they do at this point?
Because they want him to face the Rock and Mania. They're going to probably have this fuck hold the title until next year's WrestleMania.
I can see that happening, but we'll see. And we will be here talking about it week after week. Guys, I'm going to close out myself first, and I'll let you guys decide who closes yourselves out after that. How about that? We'll just do something different just to fuck off. So, yeah. Hey, you got to go back, though, and listen to the shows that Christian was gracious enough to do with Arcane. What is it? Arcane 360?
Yeah.
And DJ from FLA. So, yeah, go check those out. And go check out the shows with Lou and Hollywood Tony P. And, yeah. Listen, thank you so much for listening to us. Yeah, right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio, Internet Radio Zone. Peace, motherfuckers. I don't think it's got the desired effect, but go ahead, guys.
I'll close myself out. All right, motherfuckers. Good night to all of you. Thank you for listening into the show, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Fuck WrestleMania. I'm glad it's fucking over. But now we have to worry about WrestleMania backlash, so the misery never really ends. So until then, see you guys next week on Tuesday. Peace out, you motherfuckers. Good night.
Christian from Philly.
Yeah. So couple things to plug would be, number one, local wrestling. Hey, it's just the dopest local wrestling federation down here. We also got Renegade Wrestling, which is also super sick, and a lot of those people are on the local shows, so check out both of them. But they have a show coming up next month I'm not going to be able to be at called Slow It Down Kid. It's in Houston. There's going to be Mil Muertes from Lucha Underground. AAA is going to be there. Rhino from ECW, WWE, TNA, he'll be there. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Rhino, and I can't be at this show. I have a gig booked with my band, and I'm not going to be able to go to this show. So kind of super sad about that. So instead of missing that show, oh, we're also getting the return of Psycho Clown versus Gino Part 2. So that's just a super stacked card. It's going to be a badass event. Other than that, this on 420, I'm actually on vacation. And on 420 on a Tuesday, they're going to have a show called Hi, How Are You? And
nice.
I believe the tickets to that show are $10 or $20. And I'm going to really try to go to that the day before that, or a couple of days before that, I believe they have the Wrestle Swap event at the same venue, at the Premier Arena that we're always talking about. So you can go there and see some wrestling and also, like, just purchase a lot of rare wrestling memorabilia. A lot of vendors will be there selling stuff. So they're doing awesome things. And we'll get Jaime back on the show soon. Well, I talked to some talent when I was there last time. I talked to this guy, Chris Carter. And he's just like an up-and-coming dude. He's got some matches online. You can see he jumped off of the roof last time we were there at Loco. I want to get Ninja Mac on the show. He's probably one of their most talented guys. I bet Lowrider would come on too. So, you know, not all at once, but over time, let's try to get some of those guys on here. And aside from that, go check out RVDCBD.com and get a pack of rolling papers from your boy. Since
yeah,
he has to do all that work. Putting his neck out there to plug those on the fucking WrestleMania. It's a real thing. His website crashed, so a lot of people jumped on those. We'll see you next week. Or no, I might not be there because next week is Hi, How Are You? So if I'm not here next week, I'll be at there and I might call with a live update.
Kevin. Kevye West. Yeah, next week is 420. I had no idea that next week was 420, but now it's been, you know, brought forward. It's 420. And then there's an event. I mean, shit, I think that we should probably be there at that event and then maybe do some type of show or something. We'll see. But I would definitely like to be at an event at 420. We'll see how that plays out. Maybe we can do a show and maybe we can't. But, yeah, thank you so much. Albert Inspected.
Yeah, everything you guys said, and that's about it. I'm over here drinking these hard seltzers. I'm feeling it in my head right now. But God bless Fatal 4-Way Radio. God bless professional wrestling, and God bless planet Earth. Good night.
And God bless Texas. Albert Inspected, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, that's the show. Peace. Later, guys.
Later.